This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh my heavens!
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
"Hey, man!"
It is good to have you listening. Big shout out to Dwight Parker in Douglasville. He went to Arbor Place Package Store there in Douglasville. They have our Hey Man L. Literally, Mike, the tweet is, got a hold of Hey Man, first try. I like the original. Well, don't we all? He says, I'll taste the new flavor tomorrow. So, Dwight, thank you, man. And a big shout out to Hey Man to you as well. Lots going on today, guys. We'll dive into the Braves, Mike, before we talk about the Falcons and what may happen in this draft and the moves they've made today. The Braves finally get a W. And to be clear, guys, we still are concerned, at least I am, Mike, about what's been happening with our team offensively. Right. Today we found a way to win. But when you look at this lineup, guys, this is the same lineup we rolled through the NL, you know, CS. These are the same guys for the most part. We re-signed Ozuna. And at the end of the day, there's really one guy that's carrying this offense, and it's Ronald Acuña.
It really is. I said earlier on Twitter today when they won the game, it's kind of like an old 70s detective show, Carl. Acuña and the Panda. Tonight's episode, The Missing Bullpen. You know, so it's, you know, Acuña, by the way, is on fire. He's the hottest player in the bigs. He's getting, obviously, the national juice, as well he should. But then the Panda with his third pinch hit home run. So, I mean, he's in rarefied air now, but these guys are literally carrying this team. 8 hits for the Bravos today. The Marlins bullpen did a bit of imploding itself.
Tonight on Acuña and the Panda. The case of Snitker's missing brain.
No, but you really can't blame Snit. Because last night you had the closer, Will Smith, go. And, of course, heaven forbid you can't turn a guy around in less than 24 hours. Not that they didn't do that back in the day. So today they had to go with Minter. So Minter came in and gacked it and then blew the lead. But luckily, bases loaded, extra innings. They walked a run in, and then Dansby with the base knock. Take a listen. Right, you got it? I'm sorry. I just blindsided Chris. I'm sorry. But, yeah, I mean, we do have the audio of it.
All right. We'll play it for you guys coming up. We'll go around the yard at 540. Good win for the Braves. They'll head to Chicago. We'll talk about Ian Anderson and his start and all the things that took place today. As far as the Falcons, if you're just joining us today, Ito Smith has been released. And, you know, when I say that, earlier a guy hit me up and he said, Dukes, I heard you say that to start the show earlier today, and I was kind of mixed emotions. And he said, not in a bad way. He goes, when I heard you say it, I was kind of like, okay. And it's interesting, Mike, because sometimes when you go, X has been released, such and such has been released, you kind of go, oh, what are they doing? That's not the reaction here.
I liked, and you and I, remember when he got drafted, we interviewed him, and the Ito Smith numbers out of Southern Miss, the guy had 3,000-yard seasons. He had nearly 6,000, I believe over 6,000 yards from scrimmage. He looked on paper like the perfect third down back. I mean, but the guy had also ran between the tackles. And initially, you know, again, you know, once you get a guy, you know, here that like Todd Gurley, he wasn't going to see that many touches. But for whatever reason, some part of it was injury. Maybe just, you know, Dirk Cutter forgot about him. Either way, Carl, he only played in 21 games the last two seasons. As we've said, same thing with Keanu Neal. Keanu, obviously, a bigger impact player, but a new regime is going to look at that and say, I'm not paying for that. I'm sorry. And that's a guy that would probably be fodder for some cap space.
Yeah, so we said this with Dave Archie, who joined us last hour. All the interviews online at Odyssey.com. Yes, we're still going to draft a running back, but this probably had no impact on the approach to the draft because I felt like we were going to do that whether Ito Smith was here or not. I also think, Mike, we're going to go into camp and there was going to be some competition, but it will be a couple of new faces. And so you keep talking about who's the kid, Quadre Allison. who is still here. At the end of the day, we'll see what he's got and how he fits into to Arthur Smith's offense. But I do think he likes a little bit more power running type running backs. It's not to say we don't like speed because, you know, but he had both of those things in Derrick Henry, and maybe we get, a few of those guys to fill in the blanks.
As we always say with Q, it's always about pass protection. That seems to be the knock that we had heard from folks about last year's organization, different organization now, that said that was what's keeping him off the field. But meanwhile, in addition to, picking up Cordarrelle Patterson, I like the idea, Carl, though, of getting a guy who's got some pedigree with the Patriots. He did start all 16 games for the Lions as a safety, and Daron Harmon. Another guy, again, would you be able to pick Daron Harmon out? No, you don't know who he is, but it's a body, and it's more depth in that safety room that you've been talking about, and that's the kind of stuff that Fontenot did when he was working with the Saints.
Yeah, he's a guy that's played a lot, though, Mike. That's what I like. I know we all want superstars. We all want guys that, immediately when you say the name, you know who he is. There's a lot of guys in the NFL that are really good that are not brand names. And when you talk about guys that play or have played a lot, Mike, that's what we need right now. I think we need experience. And, I say we as in Dean Pease, the new defensive coordinator. Give me some guys that know what they're doing when I talk about this scheme and how I can use them versus guys who haven't done it and now I'm trying to coach them up. You're going to have some of those guys. But where we are at the safety spot, I need some experience. So he brings that to the table. As we talk about the Falcons, let's talk about the potential of what may happen draft night. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report. As always, Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's has got so many different great deals every night, like three-topping pizzas for $7.99. Don't forget the pizza tracker. Domino's has it. You get your order, you know exactly where that pizza's going to be, so the family's ready to chow down. Go to Domino's.com for all the details.
All right, guys, so the Broncos were at Justin Fields Pro Day, as we were. They're a team that potentially, and I say this because I don't know if they feel compelled enough to make the move. Mike has brought up the Patriots, but as we said, a lot of these potential trade partners now have made their moves, right? You saw Carolina, Philly's moved back. We saw what San Francisco's done. Now they're in front of us. But if the Broncos are on the move, and I don't care if it is for a quarterback, if you're going to do this, it better be. But, Mike, we could get a nice haul from the Broncos if they were to make this move. And we would basically end up with the 9th overall pick. They would get the 4th pick. They'd get their guy. We'd probably give them, a 5th round pick. And at the end of the day, we'd still end up with a 1st round pick for next year, which is kind of what Mike and I have been talking about.
Right.
So everybody thinks that the Broncos, they need another quarterback to go along with Drew Lock. You said yesterday you don't trust what Drew Lock's doing. I don't know if they do. I just know he's working to try to get better.
I mean, at some point, someone's got to stick. But let's be honest. We talked about this is why, when you've got a franchise quarterback, you hold on to him because the Broncos, and even Elway, look, other than Peyton, even Elway couldn't find the guy. And I still don't believe in Drew Lock. 16-15 as far as touchdowns to picks last year. Maybe they need to upgrade and Jerry Jeudy isn't all that. But I don't care. Hey, whatever they want to come up for, they want to go get another weapon. If they believe in that guy and they want to get Trey Pitts, let's do it. I did another mock draft. I know you mock me, but I did another mock draft today. Yeah. And in this case, Carl, I traded down to Denver, and they were interested apparently in a quarterback because we got Patrick Surtain at 9. And then I traded up, and I all the things I accumulated, I was able to move around the board, and I got us Najee Harris, Trevon Moehrig, the kid out of TCU.
Safety.
I only got one lineman because it was, one way or the other. So I got Eichenberg. He's projected as a starting left tackle from the Irish. And then I was able to go get my pet project, Davis Mills, in the 66th overall pick. So, and I know we just mentioned this with Archer last hour, I still love the idea of trading back. And again, as you said, maybe picking up a 1st or 2nd next year.
Yeah. I think I just saw our future quarterback.
Unless, of course, you feel that way.
Yeah, if he's sitting there, it's just hard for me to pass.
Here's the thing. If we traded down and Fields is still there at 9, then you got to pull the trigger, right?
Oh, yeah. Listen, if he lasts till 9, we got to steal. Like if this was to happen and we were somehow end up with the 9th pick and switch with the Broncos, and he ended up being, there at 9, I think you stolen Justin Fields. Because the draft again, the night of the draft, I'm going to talk a lot about this the day of, but value is what it's about. Drafting a guy where he's supposed to be, that's one thing. But when you get a guy, when he falls, and you ultimately go, wow, this was a guy that we had in the top 3 or 4 or 5, or he's a 1st-round draft pick, and we're getting him in the 2nd or the 3rd round. That's where the value comes in. That's where you're getting 1st-round talent, but he's a 3rd-rounder. Think about Grady Jarrett, 5th-rounder. Grady should have gone in the 3rd, in my opinion, when he came out. Easily. We got him in the 5th. He's turned into a 1st-round draft pick. he's turned into a guy that had first-round talent, and now that's transcended with his new contract and the way he's helped his team. That's the kind of guys you're looking for, Mike. So, yeah, if you're asking me and telling me Justin would be 9, because I still think he's a top-5 guy in my book, I would tell you that we stole it. That would be a great pick.
Guys, hit us up on Twitch. You can follow us at Twitch at 92.9 and follow the show live, and you can comment, too. And a couple of guys yesterday were saying, why do these things happen every year? Why is Fields all of a sudden, his stock is down? Remember, Trey Pitts, he came up. Sewell dropped, and then Sewell got more juice. So, I mean, it's almost like watching a stock. You know, it's like an EKG as far as watching the valuations of these guys. I don't know other than when a media type gets information, do NFL teams buy that crap? I mean, it seems like some of the stuff gets a momentum all its own, and then in turn, more mock drafts project this guy's value going south. Justin Fields beat Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields, again, the Clemson game stands on its own. And if we want to quibble, we talked yesterday with it. Again, it was Josh, I always forget his last name, from Ohio State, the linebacker we had on the show yesterday.
Perry.
And yeah. Josh was saying, look, man, you could say this. If you want to, and I know we crap on the Big Ten here in SEC country, but if you want to sit there and go, oh, Big Ten corners, well, give me a break. What's the elite defense in the ACC that that Trevor Lawrence was throwing against?
There isn't one.
Exactly.
Yeah, there really isn't. I think that's a valid point. I think people, when you say that, Mike, you go, well, he was better. We're not saying who was better. We're just simply laying out that the competition, when you talk about going head-to-head, what was it and who won?
Right.
That's it. So it's interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'd love to hear from you guys, as always, at 404-741-0929. Every day there's something new. And by the way, Parsons, if you missed it in the interview with Dave Archer, he's the linebacker from Penn State. Mm-hmm. He ran a 4.3 today. He's 246, about 250, 6'3". Here's what I'm telling you. He's bigger than Debo, but he's as fast or faster. And he can play every linebacker position. And if you want to leave him on the field when you go nickel or dime, he doesn't come off the field because he can cover wide receivers.
Right.
That's a unique talent, Mike. Now, I'm not saying we're going to draft him, but if you talk about, all right, if we do swap and we fall out of 4 and we're not taking a quarterback, and you start talking about best athlete, Pitts is gone. That guy is a really intriguing pick.
I traded back to the Broncos. Again, this is just what we do and have fun with. It may work out. We're here. Again, crazier things have already happened when you see what the Dolphins have pulled off and what the Patriots, everybody else may do. But I pulled back to 9, and then I got a deal from the Cowboys. So I picked up even more picks, Carl. And then
you did a double first round.
I did
trade?
A double drop down in the first round.
Okay.
In this mock. That's
it. And Mike, that could happen.
Again, if you're at 9 and then you're at 10, the Lions in some of these mock drafts, we've done, again, it all depends on who you're using for your algorithms. I know it drives people crazy trying to find something that's standardized. But look, even Mel Kiper's got us doing a drop with the Dolphins, which doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. They have us going down to 6, and we could probably get Trey Lance at 6 and pick up pieces.
Pieces.
I mean, that's hair helmet. That's not me talking. But, I mean, you can have fun with this stuff, and we advise everybody to be an educated consumer come draft night. But, brother, I still love the idea of trading down and finding my quarterback in the middle rounds or next year.
All right, man, we'll see what goes down. It is Dukes and Bell. We'd love to hear from you again on Twitch. We're live. Follow us, subscribe there, and get that exclusive content. Make sure you follow us on the Gram as well. The Gram. And at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. And by the way, we got a fun thing going today when we talk about our Dukes and Bell Twitter today. Chris put up your reaction. What is your reaction to Dansby's walk-off today? And we're getting a lot of those with an emoji or either a meme, whatever you want it to be. So make sure you go to Dukes and Bell and respond. Braves do win. We're going to talk about it at 5:40. Right now, let's give you a chance to win some money. I'm going to be there around midnight. Midnight is the word.
Wow.
M-I-D-N-I-G-H-T. Midnight. If you out after midnight, ain't nothing good happening.
After midnight, we're going to let it all hang out.
72881 is the number you texted to. 72881, guys, for your chance to win. All the rules and regulations at 929thegame.com/rules. Mike mentioned this earlier today. I just want to mention it again because, again, we know our audience. You might be on your way home and maybe you hadn't listened all day. We had a winner last week that won in the 5 o'clock hour on this show. Andrew Davidson from Cumming. One on Dukes and Bell in the 5 o'clock hour last week. He got $1,000, Mike.
All I know is some other stations can't even be heard in Cumming, Carl. Unlimited power, Holmes. Get some money.
All right, man, coming up, they are in action tonight, and it is a big matchup. If you're talking about the Eastern Conference, well, we might have to go through them to get what we want.
And And now, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Sports Flash.
I'm Mike Conte. This update is brought to you by True Green. The Braves' four-game losing streak is over. They managed to salvage a win in their four-game series against the Marlins with a 7-6 victory this afternoon. Dansby Swanson with a walk-off single in the bottom of the ninth inning. The Braves will play at Chicago tomorrow afternoon. The Falcons today signed a pair of free agents, Cordarrelle Patterson and Daron Harmon. Patterson is the NFC's leading kick returner from 2020. The Falcons today also cut running back Ito Smith. It's the Hawks and the Bucks at State Farm Arena tonight in a matchup of two likely playoff teams. The Hawks have won three in a row and seven of their last eight, despite being severely shorthanded due to injury. Kevin Herter says they're showing off their depth right now.
We knew that a year like this, a COVID year, everybody at some point was going to be either sick or banged up. And we played so many games and in such a short amount of time that, you know, our depth is really showing right now.
Pre-game coverage starts at 7:30 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Hawks have lost five in a row to the Bucks, dating back to March of 2019. Meanwhile, the WNBA draft is tonight with the Atlanta Dream holding the third overall pick. The Dream opened their season in 1 month in College Park against Connecticut. Hey Atlanta, spring's finally here, and now's the time to get the lawn of your dreams with True Green. Go to truegreen.com/radio to save 50% on your first service. Just call True Green at 877-415-5296 and get a lawn you'll be proud of. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Mike Conte from the Kia Studios. On your own with tonight's Hawks-Bucks game, tip off at 7:30, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
So they're back in action tonight. We're talking about the Hawks. It is a unity night at State Farm Arena. And if you're going, oh, wait a minute, I've heard about these unity nights. Yes, they've had a couple of them already. They'll continue to have them throughout the course of the season in honor of Dr. King, honoring the life and legacy. Mm-hmm. And so the uniforms, if you've not seen them, I mean, we've talked about them for months now, but the MLK Nike City Edition uniforms, the matching court at State Farm, you can join the Hawks tonight. All you need to do is go to hawks.com/tickets, learn more about Unity Night, and you can always listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So tonight, it is a TNT game, Mike, which is great for us, because one of the things you said earlier today was there's not a lot of people talking about how well we're playing despite all the adversity we're going
through. You'd think ESPN doesn't know the state of Georgia exists, Carl. And by the way, Kendrick Perkins, who we've had on the show, great funny guy, does a good job on that. One of the few guys does a good job on ESPN, in my estimation. Kendrick gave the Hawks some love, and I was giving him some love. And I said, tell the producers up there, you know, we exist down here. But he was giving credit to Nate and the job that Coach has done and how we are getting things done without having all our star players on the floor, which would be any other year in the old days, that would qualify as a hell of a story. Look, fourth seed in the East, and nobody's talking about us.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's cool. And it's cool because, all right, we don't have the fanfare. You know, Mike and I were talking about Luka Doncic. He hit a crazy game winner last night. You know, you look at last night, I talked about the 76ers beating the Nets, who the Nets were, you know, nobody played because of load management. But we're right here in the mix. We're right here. And right now, when you look at the Southeast standings, okay, we're two games in front of Miami. Miami played for the NBA championship last year. Now, everybody has their issues, but I'm not going to make excuses. That's why the Charlotte game a few nights ago, Mike, when everybody was talking about the dunk, you remember the dunk?
Right.
Was such a big deal. Well, they're 2.5 games behind us. And then there's Washington and Orlando who really, you know, they have no shot, in my opinion. But the fact is, we're playing well. We're right exactly where I thought we would be in the mix of things. And I still think this is a fourth overall seed, or, you know, top four seed in the East. But tonight is one of those games where if you handle business, Mike, with all the injuries, I think it really gives this team a lot of confidence to say what I've been talking about. Once we get full strength, we're going to be an issue.
Right. We've got enough guys. That's one of the things we brought up with Nate. We've got dudes who stepped up. You know, again, Lou has been a huge addition. That's right. Lemon Pepper Lou is killing it for us right now.
Sure,
you know,
is.
And Bogey's been right, you know, been righteous. And we talked about, you know, Gallinari, you know, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that's happening. And as you know, as we heard from Steve Holman, bang, you know, everybody's contributing. Capella is real legitimate defensive player. If Capella was in New York right now, they'd be like, oh, oh my God, it's all the things that they love in you know, New York media, hardworking guy, head down, but that's, you know, that's what he does. That's why they loved Oak Tree, you know, back in the day.
True.
And Capella is giving you better offense, you know. I mean, he's a high percentage guy, you know, it's, you know, within 2 feet, but that's great. And then we're still waiting. But here's the thing, though. The rub is, when is John Collins going to get healthy? You know, when are we going to see DeAndre out here? I mean, you and I are saying it. We're all like, all is well, nothing to worry about. But it doesn't seem like the news is really good as far as the prognosis of the medical stuff.
Bridges!
Oh, no, shut up, that. You know, Charlotte. Charlotte, and by the way, these Charlotte pipsqueaks. You know,
who
I mean,
cares?
I mean, Charlotte is, it is what it is. It's, as I said Monday, it's Birmingham with tall buildings. I mean, you guys are irrelevant, okay? I mean, nobody cares. But anyway, I digress. But good for you.
Thunderbolt from Bridges!
Yes, well, you enjoy falling out of the playoffs while we stay out of the four seed. I mean, mellow ball. Oh, no, he did. Yeah. You look like the Easter Bunny in that ridiculous getup. Get out of here.
But it just makes me laugh. And then I pee myself.
I mean, literally. I mean, Harlan has the definitive dunk comment. You know, it was Kevin Garnett way back when. Kevin Garnett, no regard for human life. Everything else is just a pale imitation, you know. But, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, more on the Braves coming up, guys, with our Braves report. Big win today to break the losing streak. But, yeah, I'm with you, Carl. We don't get the love. So I'm glad to see a guy like Kendrick Perkins at least pointing somebody in our direction.
Yeah, and you know, we should, Bo, we'll reach out to Perk. I haven't talked to him in a while. We'll get him back on the show and get his thoughts, because I'm glad he is loving on us. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our strong arm story of the day. Hawks in action tonight. It's important, guys, because now you start to look at the season. Remember, it's 72 games, not 82. Right now, okay, Hawks have played 55 games. We're counting down here. This season's going to be over before you know it. Mm. And all of these games now, as you start to get down the stretch, are going to matter. I'm hoping that we're able to get all of our guys back with maybe 12, maybe 15 games, Mike, to play.
Right.
Because I think you gotta get everybody in rhythm, right? We said this when we started the season, and then Bogey got injured, and then Gallinari, and then they came back kind of separate times. I think you got to get everybody in rhythm, and I think that's going to be important heading to the playoffs. Let's hear from Kevin Herter. He talks about the depth of the team. That's a big part of things, guys. The injuries, unlike in years past, and credit Travis Schlink, have not hurt this team. We've had injuries. Guys still win. Trey sits out. We still win. JC sits out. We still win. Here's Kevin Herter.
Yeah, no, I think our depth is something we talked about really the moment the season started. And I think right now it's showing. We knew that a year like this, a COVID year, everybody at some point was going to be either sick or banged up. And we played so many games and in such a short amount of time that, you know, our depth is really showing right now.
So it's one of those things where I asked the question the other day, you know, what's it going to take for you to start jumping on board and going, yeah, we got a really good team. Sarah Spencer from the AJC went on the midday show with Andy and Randy. I want you to hear what she said about this makeup of the Hawks and this group of guys.
You know, if you had asked me before last night, I would have said playing pretty mistake-free in the fourth quarter. Although, obviously, in the fourth quarter last night, that wasn't really the case because it was a two-point game with about 20 seconds to go just because they couldn't really defend from three in that final minute. But they ended, you know, hey, a win's a win, right?
Yep.
So, honestly, I think the biggest thing has been a certain guys developing chemistry and certain guys hitting their stride at the right time, which has been able to make up for the massive amount of injuries that this team has. The past two games, they've been missing seven guys, four of their five top scorers, yet those have both been two wins because you're getting great production from guys like Bogdanovich because Clint Capella has stepped up.
Like we said, man, the you know, the Hornets game, and then in Toronto with that Malachi, whoever the hell he was, you know, those threes, but they hung on.
Who was that guy?
I think he went to Washington State, but they hung on to win, and that's the thing. You're finding this is where, you know, we all know what wasn't going down with Lloyd Pierce, and now we're finding ways to win, and we don't have the best guys on the floor. That's something to be excited about. And now, look, if Giannis doesn't play tonight, he's listed as questionable. So be it. We've been dealing with our own thing.
Played his ass off night after night.
Thanks, dog.
For those who missed Chris Mad Dog Russo on Mad Dog Radio, went off because who was it on the Nets? Was it Durant? Who was taking the night off?
I was talking about it earlier on the show, and Chris played those comments from his show about what he had to say. Yeah, it's just upsetting from a fan's perspective. Last night, I'm flipping through.
Oh, no. If you drop big money to go see Giannis tonight in limited seating capacity,
it sucks.
And he's not there, it sucks. But that's, guess what? sooner or later, the NBA will realize that maybe, just maybe, you need to push back a little bit with the players and ask them to do their freaking jobs. How about that?
Well, listen.
How about Havlicek?
A guy
man
having
8 miles every game.
A guy having.
Havlicek played from 1963 to 1979.
He didn't miss a game.
16 freaking years.
That's right. He's right. But guys taking a day off is one thing. And here's the thing. When the stars of the past, and I know you don't want to hear this.
Okay? Oh, go to Patrick Ewing played every damn night on bad knees. I saw it.
When the stars of yesteryear played every night, and when they took a night off, it was a big deal. Like, it was like, whoa, why is he not playing? Mm-hmm. He had to really be hurt. And so when Durant didn't play last night and Griffin didn't play and all these guys, and it's a big game. 76ers and the Nets are vying for the first spot in the Eastern Conference. It was just one of those games where you go, really? So either way, come on, dog.
And by the
come
way.
You think Havlicek's taking a night off?
No. I mean.
Havlicek.
Hondo. We're talking about Hondo. But remember, when Michael Jordan, or for instance, they were going back and forth between Alexander Memorial at the time and the Georgia Dome with the big tent. And then the night that MJ comes in, you know, there's 62,000 people to watch Michael Jordan his last year with the Bulls. And then Michael goes, yeah, you know what? Not feeling it, man. I need a mental health break. I need a load management break, Phil.
Doesn't happen.
No, but that's
twice
again,
the player that any of these guys are. You know, Grant Havlicek once? It makes me sick.
Now, listen, I will say this, just to double down on what Russo was saying yesterday. I grew up, as you know, my dad was a huge Knicks fan. Bernard King played with Carl. It seemed like eight fingers were broken every damn week with finger and the tape and everything. But these guys, I mean, it's a candy, A-S-S, generation of players. And the coaches enable this stuff. This all started with Popovich when he thumbed his nose on national TV by not starting the Spurs against the Heat one year.
You're absolutely right. It's
you know what Jordan went down?
You know what Jordan went down? Real quick, I want to shift gears. I want to say this because it's very important. She's not only a friend of the show, she's a friend of ours. She's been great to me since I've gotten to the A. Javita Moore, for those who don't know, Channel 2 Action News anchor. She's going to undergo surgery tomorrow. Doctors discovered two small masses on her brain, and she underwent an MRI and noticed, you know, a few things like the symptoms. And I'm just telling the story, but the story is she told Justin Farmer that she wasn't feeling great, okay? And this was going on the air Monday, right before they went on the air. And then later that evening, she said, you know, I was at the grocery store, I'm in the parking lot, and then I realized it was more. She said she had an issue walking to the car, it just didn't feel right. So we are sending our love and our prayers to Jovita Moore. She's been on with us numerous times, but Atlanta, you guys know what she means to our community, and certainly in the media, we're all one big family. So I just want to put that out there, Mike, because we absolutely love Jovita Moore.
Always been so great with us. Veteran studio. Remember, she's ever in studio all the time before the time. COVID. So she's going to have brain surgery for the tumors on Friday. So, again, thoughts and prayers for, again, she's, you know, been great with us, as you said. And how many people identify with Jovita and the Channel 2 News?
So recovery, by the way, for the surgery will last 8 to 10 weeks. And, you know, they say they'll keep us updated on our progress. And I just want to put that out there. So if you... You know, send some positive vibes your way. All right, man, coming up, we got plenty more. Braves win a game they needed to win. I'm not going to lie to you. If we lost today, and we almost did, I would have been a lot more worried. But we found a way. How did they do it, and what was the turning point? How about them Braves? They finally do something that we haven't become accustomed to, at least not this season. We found a way to get a win, Mike. After the bullpen almost blew it. Let's start there, Mike, because Minter gives up two runs in the ninth, which allows the Marlins then to take control of this game. But, Mike, we found a way, which is something we've been struggling with offensively, whether it's taking walks, which is something we did, or just clutch hitting, which is something Dansby showed us again with a nice walk-off. But the Braves win today, guys, 7-6. Mike, what were you impressed with?
Well, the only guy carrying this team is Ronald Acuna. Acuna goes 2-for-5 with 2 RBIs, again, providing the big lumber, the big home run. That's what this guy's all about. I mean, we've talked about, you know, he's the hottest player in baseball right now.
Say it again.
He is the hottest player in, we're going to sound like a pukey dancer, hottest player in baseball right now. He is the best, not just Carl in the senior circuit, but the entire major league. Then you got a guy in Kung Fu Panda who, again, has been money with a 3-run home run, if you didn't see it. A guy who's just been so clutch, Carl, so good. This guy gets it done again with a 3rd home run pinch hit of the season, Pablo Sandoval.
So here's what's crazy. we avoid the sweep, right? We avoid the five-game losing streak, or skid, should I say. And the interesting thing to me is that Freddie Freeman had a 10-pitch walk when it mattered most. You talk about battling in an at-bat. Five pitches that he fouls off. I mean, he's just in there, and he's not giving up. He's not taking pitches. But I think that was one of the key moments that allowed us to win. Now, again, Dansby comes up with a hit, and that was huge. But, guys, we loaded the bases. Albies, the Braves load the bases. He walks, and you go, okay, where's this thing going to go? And then Freddie has his at-bat. Darno comes up and strikes out. But it was Inciarte that really got this thing started with a pinch-hit leadoff single. That was how this inning got started. We're talking about the ninth. So for all the things that led up to Dansby's hit, those were huge moments in this game that, Mike, you talk about being clutch and all the things we keep hoping we're going to see with this offense. More guys have to contribute. Right. In the ninth inning, we got that.
And again, Ender's been getting killed by everybody, and deservedly so, because, for everything from, just simply bad at bats and, not being able to lay down a bunt the other night. Chukri even went on Twitter and said that, wow, he's ready to see Markakis over Ender and CRJ. So that's, whoa. But
wow.
That's bold. But yeah, Ender did his job. Do your job, man. You're a professional hitter. I mean, how'd you stay in the show for all this long, right? I mean, you didn't forget how to do this. The one guys, though, who have forgotten their jobs, that's the bullpen. And let's start with the pitching. Ian Anderson pitched. Pitch count was high, Carl. He was getting up there by the fifth inning. So we had to go to the bullpen, which unfortunately in this series with Miami has been taxed. And I got to be honest with you, Nate, not very good. Nate Jones gives up a home run to a Sterling Marte. And then the fans, when Minter comes in and is blowing things up seven ways to Sunday, start to get chance of Shane Green, who's, by the way, out there. He's a free agent. Liberty Media, can you give Alex the coin to go get another arm? Because this bullpen, as it's presently comprised, is not doing the job. We, by the way, I don't want to bang on Minter. Carl, gave him love all offseason for the job he did. And when we had to go, press into service and pitch against the Dodgers, Minter's been terrible. I mean, the bullpen has been brutal, and Minter today didn't have it again.
All right, so let's talk about put the win aside. By the way, Ian Anderson, 5 innings, 6 hits. He gave up 3 runs.
A lot of pitches, though.
Yes, did strike out 6. He battled through, okay? But let's put the win aside and say, okay, because we'll take a win. There are real concerns with the way things have gone for us, and Mike just mentioned one of them, the bullpen. How are we finishing games? How are we getting to the end? One of the things we figured out last year with Melanson and Green, all right, and Smith, we had a way to finish games. And right now, Snit is still trying to figure that out, Mike. He's still maneuvering. You have your long – your long guys, as far as if you get in a situation where your pitcher gets chased and you got to bring in a guy, you got those guys. But when we're in games like this, who do you trust and who do you go to? And right now, I think he's still, putting guys in situations and figuring it out. And that's what the early part of the season's for. But that is something, Mike, we lost coming off the NLCS. And then you fast forward to this year, we had that figured out last year.
Right. And again, guys, I'll say it again. Don't bag on Alex. Okay. I mean, He's never going to – what's he going to say? Well, McGurk doesn't let us spend like we're a top 8 team. We are where we're at. We need more loot, And by the way, guys need to step it up. Charlie Morton the other night. We're like, hey, well, Charlie Morton will figure it. We got Smiley. And again, Smiley just 2 starts. You already said it. Freed, we hope that Freed, comes back and is ready to roll. And he's only going to miss, according to Dave O'Brien, looks like 2 spots. Maybe, it depends on the schedule. We get a rain out or something, we may get lucky.
Yeah.
But – what if Soroka comes back and he's not, and you brought this up yesterday, what if Soroka is not just, ready to roll immediately? We're going to have to go get more pitching. Or a Kyle, then we're going to get back in that nonsense with Gwinnett, or, what's it called again? The neutral site? The
alternate
site. I always botch that. Well, anyway, we're going to be going back and forth like we did the last couple of seasons. I don't think Braves fans want to see any more of that.
Well, I think there's this automatic assumption with Soroka just picking up where he left off last year. Nobody has.
Right.
Well, except Acuna. Seriously. Freddie was the MVP last year. He hadn't even picked up where he's – occasionally now through these 13 games, he's been there. And we know what Freddie's capable of. It's about consistency, and I do expect him to be that consistent guy. But nobody's just picked up where they were. So it's easy to assume, Mike, that, Soroka – it may take 3 or 4 starts for him to really feel good, and we see the guy we fell in love with last year. Freed comes off this injury. I don't know what the foot, what the deal is with the foot. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's something. So I just don't think we can assume all those things. And to your point about the depth with Ian Anderson and Bryce Wilson, and yes, I think they're going to go that route first because that's one reason they added all this depth. But then at some point, okay, and Alex is no idiot. He knows this. He did this the last couple of years. If it's not working, then you're going to have to go address that situation. And
right.
I hope that's not the case, because then, you know, that's basically saying the guys we trusted coming into the season are not the guys we thought they were.
And again, we've talked so much about, you know, Ozuna with another Ofer, Ozuna batting 163 right now. And again, you know, 0-for-9 last two games, if I'm reading it right. So he's got to get things going. And what, of course, compounds the aggravation for Braves fans is you see Duvall just coming up with clutch hit after clutch hit. In this case, he's you know, their version of Sandoval with a big pinch hit. They're not going to be this anemic at the plate. It was good, maybe, and hopefully Dansby, you know, gets some confidence off of this. Dansby, you know, had the game-winning base knock, had three hits in the game. And but Austin Riley, this goes back to every conversation we've had the last couple seasons. I'm always told, well, Austin Riley, he's still working well. I need a better third baseman if Austin Riley can't start hitting soon, right?
Yeah.
Broken bat, line drive, and the Braves win it. Dansby Swanson picks on the first pitch. And the Braves come back again and beat the Marlins in game four. It's a 7-6 final.
But again, Nationals got off to a brutal start. We all know how that turned out. They won the World Series. But, of course, they opened up the piggy bank. We don't need to do that yet, Carl, but you just, you know, it's been exasperating. If I told you the Marlins were going to come in here and take 3 out of 4, you guys said, what?
Yeah.
I said, what?
It's not going to be easy to win this division, man. It's not. Hey, real quick, want to put it in perspective. I tweeted out this morning, but, you know, he added to it today. Ronald Acuna's 14 extra base hits through the first 13 games are tied for the most in franchise history. He's matched Henry Aaron, who did it in 1959. I want you to think about all the players that have come through Atlanta and all the great players we've had. 14 extra base hits to the first 13 games. The only other guy to do it was Henry Aaron. Acuna is on fire, and we may be watching, as I've said, the MVP this year. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We got plenty more to get to. Buster Only is set to join us around 6:20. We'll get his thoughts on the Braves and much more when we come back. Top three at 6.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.